Blog Talk Radio.
This is Sherry Edwards with the Sound Health Options Show. Richard is flooded out and has no electricity, so he's not going to be able to be with us today. But we do have a special guest, Claire Candy Hogue, and she is a very special person. She is an angelic walk-in, and I learned from her that there are many kinds of walk-ins. And we're going to learn why she is a walk-in, why she came back to help the rest of them. I'm going to read a little bit of what I found on the back of one of her books. We have all encountered, or at least heard about, those rare individuals who change their lives overnight. The miracle cure of a terminal illness, the addict who simply decides one day to quit. How do they do it? What happened to them to create such a dramatic turnaround? I am an angelic walk-in. This is our guest's latest book. Explores these tantalizing questions and provides thought-provoking answers, a glimpse into the internal and the divine. That sounds incredibly interesting. We are being sponsored today by the Institute of Bioacoustic Biology and Sound Health, and our software for this week is NanoVoice that you can go download for free. It is under downloads at soundhealthoptions.com. We are only broadcasting from Blog Talk Radio because when Richard is not with us, I don't have enough hands to run all of the different microphones and pieces that need to be taken care of. And we don't have any announcements that deal with the environment as Richard usually brings to us. So if you would like to listen to us, 347-850-1407. And we will be recording this. It'll be up in about 20 minutes after the show. And we will post that on our Blog Talk Radio link. It's one of the tabs on our show. We actually do three shows. Blog Talk Radio is our Sunday show. Then on Tuesdays, we trade off Direction for Truth, where we talk about what's real. We've talked about greed before and what happens to that. People, a lot of you have written to me about that. Then on Happy Hour, we talk about things that the audience can participate in. And last week we did Heart Tracker because we were talking about Carrie Fisher and Debbie Reynolds. And we have more information about that up on our site. It's under Happy Hour, under the radio tab. We did record that and show why Debbie Reynolds really did die of a broken heart. And maybe we can ask our guest about that. Claire, are you with us online? Do I have your mic open?
Yes, you do. It's lovely to be here. Thank you so much for inviting me as a guest on your program, Sherry.
You are an author, an angel practitioner, a Reiki master, a teacher, international radio show host, and it's on Transformation Radio. It's Tuesdays at 9 a.m. I hope you'll tell more people about that. You're a clairvoyant writer, author. Your goal is to raise consciousness of individuals so they may connect to their divine internal nature. And I want to hear how you began this, how you connected to your divine internal nature. I know there's many experiences that our audience is interested in, but if you could tell us how that connection took place, and please include this idea of an angelic walk-in.
Yes.
Because I I just didn't realize there were many kinds of walk-ins. So if
you could explain
the background.
Okay. My journey started in January of 2003 when I had my angelic walk-in experience. Up until then, the former soul was living a very a dark life, a life in which she had lost her light, and was not particularly religious, was not particularly spiritual, and she had lost her self-worth. Let me explain to you what a walk-in actually is. A walk-in happens as a result of a physical human soul on the earth plane who becomes so deeply saddened and disconnected from their light because of prolonged emotional and physical suffering that they ask unconsciously to exit their life early. They actually ask to exit their contract that they wrote before they incarnated into physical form. And we across the veil, spirit guides and angels, we carefully monitor our selected humans on Earth, and we know that some of the most important lessons we learn come in the form of contrast through hardship and adversity. But it was so important since the harmonic convergence of 1987 for as many souls as possible to hold the light for the planet in order for the consciousness to raise on the planet and in order for the planet to ascend. And she was basically a dearth of light. She had lost her ability, having had a 22-year abusive marriage. The former soul of Claire Candy was so physically and emotionally damaged that she couldn't find her way to any sort of light. And she unconsciously asked God to exit her life and to help her to die. She actually tried to commit suicide twice. Now, hearing the earth soul's pleas from across the veil, a spiritually advanced soul would begin to approach the higher self of the earth soul in their dream state and propose that they could end their suffering and return to God with honors by walking out of that body if they agreed to allow the spiritually advanced soul to enter their physical form and accept all the responsibilities for their life. And that's exactly what happened on January 11th of 2003. After 2 years of visiting the former Earth soul of Claire Candy in her dream state, we mutually contracted for this to happen, for her to walk out of her physical body and to go home to God. And I, Angel Ariel, who is in the body now, walked in and took over Claire Candy's life. The mission... There are missions that we come back as walk-ins to bring forth on the earth plane. And mine is that the mission that I have as an angelic walk-in is to be of service to humanity by being the reflection to others to help them reconnect and live from their divine eternal natures. Everyone is divine inside, and by doing so, they go on to live divine lives of ease and grace, forgiveness, peace, love, and joy. So that's a little bit about walk-ins. And when this happened, my whole life changed, and I began to create, if you will, heaven on earth, not only for myself, but for others as they picked up and perceived this divine eternal nature and the reflection that that we all have. So that's a little bit about the way this happened to me and walk-ins that happened on the planet.
You said there's other kinds of walk-ins. How is an angelic walk-in different from, if there's such a thing as a normal kind of walk-in?
Okay. I wouldn't use the term normal, but there are several different kinds of walk-ins. Probably the most widely known are the hierarchical figures who have come back to shed light upon our planet. For instance, the Ascended Master, Lord Sananda, incarnated as Jesus, and the Bodhisattva came back as the learned Buddha. These hierarchical figures throughout history have held tremendous amounts of light and have come back, and they've really stood out at a time where there was a dearth of light on the planet, and they lifted the light and the consciousness. There are walk-ins from other galaxies. There are other star systems, other dimensions, other planets, and they are known as star seeds. They bring the knowledge, the technology. They bring that higher insight from those different dimensions and planets. And then there are those who are spirit guides, advanced spiritual souls who wish to come back and help humanity. In no way is this, possession of any sort. It's always of a higher spiritual advanced soul who walks into the body. And then there are angels like myself who reincarnate as walk-ins to come back for that mission to be of service to humanity. And there are different characteristics that all walk-ins have. And each walk-in is very individualized, but a lot of them carry very similar characteristics, Shari. For instance, walk-ins often struggle to identify with the life of the former soul, which was so often created by negativity that they wish that they could get out of their contract early. And when the walk-in occurs, you don't come in with a handbook, but you realize and you know that you're living the wrong life because you come in with your own personality, your own characteristics, and your own attitudes. Often walk-ins will adopt very, very different tastes in their food and their clothing preferences, and they resonate and they feel aligned with different cultures. For instance, when I walked in, the former soul was of the Jewish faith. She wasn't particularly religious, but when I walked in and I heard Celtic and Irish music and Scottish music, I used to weep, and as I used to remember one of my past lives, which I write about in my book, One True Home, Behind the Veil of Forgetfulness, when I was a healer in 14th century Scotland. Walk-ins often adopt and change their names as they no longer resonate with the former soul's name. Now, if anybody asked the former soul of Claire Candy, and if they could call her Claire, she would have said that she hated that name. But with the walk-in, with the clairvoyant and the clairsentient and the clairaudient and the claircognizant, with all those Claires opening up for me, as the walk-in, I embrace the name Claire as well as Candy. Walk-ins will almost always leave their partners or their spouses, even long-term ones, because they don't feel aligned with the former soul's choice of partner. And remember, because like attracts like, the former soul, who was so much in despair and pain and suffering, and often filled with negativity, would have attracted a similar energy to themselves in a mate. A walk-in almost always will change professions, careers, or jobs, and they'll go into the healing arts as spiritual counselors, alternative therapists, for instance, like myself, becoming a Reiki master teacher. Another characteristic of walk-ins who have fully released all triggers and reactions is that the divine light within them can flow unimpeded by negativity, which then continually regenerates the body physically. And many walk-ins get youthen or get younger as they get older. That's a very recent picture of me, and I turned 61 this year. So there are several characteristics which are endemic to walk-ins, but the experience of it itself is very different for each walk-in.
That's amazing. You look about 25 in your picture on your book. Did your friends recognize a big change in you when this happened?
Oh, Sherry, it was a huge change. First of all, I had the former soul had a 26 years with him, abusive marriage. And then she didn't learn much from that because she went from the frying pan into the fire and then attracted the lesson to honor herself, attracted to herself a deceitful con man. And by the time the walk-in occurred, she had owned a coffee shop, a very popular coffee shop in Australia with this deceitful partner of hers. And from one day to the next, people said, what is so different about you? You're so calm. You're so relaxed. I'd always been so sarcastic and so snippy and really, it was because she was hurting so much inside. And there was like a peaceful glow, a countenance that came over me. You know, it was 3 months after the walk-in when I finally found out from an international seer and also a spiritual teacher, counselor, within 2 days of each other, that I've had a walk-in experience, that I went back to the States, and my family didn't know how to react to me after a lifetime, after 48 years of being a victim and never being able to make a decision and being codependent and blaming everyone. I suddenly turned up as this empowered, peaceful, courageous, strong woman, and you know, they may not know the term walk-in, but they certainly see quite a remarkable 180-degree difference in my attitudes, my personality, and the things I stand for nowadays. So yes, to answer your question, people saw a tremendous difference. You know, I would like to say that the most important thing that happened in my life are the five most important tenets that my beloved business, Angel Healing House, is built on. From one day to the next, I, A, took responsibility for my life. I was no longer a victim, and I stopped blaming everything else. And this was huge because the former soul was codependent. She would never take responsibility for anything. And then the second tenet was that I forgave everyone, no matter what the circumstance was, no matter what happened. And for somebody who was a perpetual victim, this was enormous. And I just saw them in the light of God. I saw them as divine, and I forgave them. Actually, I didn't say, I forgive you. I said, please forgive me, which is an absolutely different energy. I forgive you is different from please forgive me. The third tenet that I practiced immediately was non-judgment. I allowed others to walk their journey as they saw fit. Because we are each divine, we each have the ability to make our decisions and choices and walk our journey as we saw fit. I saw my ex, my abusive ex, in a very different light. I saw him as a tremendous teacher that I draw to myself to teach me how to be independent and empowered and learn my lessons in contrast. And suddenly there was no judgment for him at all, and it just evaporated from my body and helped to lighten it. The fourth tenet that I started to practice was gratitude and appreciation. She came from a very money background and didn't appreciate anything. And by practicing this gratitude and appreciation, again, it lightened the body. And the fifth tenet, which I started practicing, was unconditional love for others, but more importantly, for myself. Which I never put myself on the list. I always put myself last. And I started to see myself as a child of God and worthy and deserving of having a beautiful life and to co-create this with the divine. And God became very important to me. Angels became very important to me. Whereas, you know, the day before, none of this existed. So I started going on from there to create this heaven on earth for myself. And those are the five most important tenets that Angel Healing House is built on.
You talk about in your books about how your near-death experiences influence affected your life. Could you talk about them and then how you use them to put this new life together?
Well, the first near-death experience that the former soul had, and when I differentiate between being in the body, I have the former soul's mental imprint. It's like a computer chip in there. So I remember everything that happened to the body. I remember what happened in her life, all the events, the people, the situations. But I don't have her emotional imprint, which would have stopped me from getting on my mission. You know, all there is just that unconditional love and no more regret, bitterness, resentment, or anything like that. So I do remember the former soul's first near-death experience when she was 5 years old, and she was in a playground, she was running to get into line. Recess had ended, and she tripped on some stones, and she went headfirst into the concrete block of the flagpole and concussed herself and was knocked out. I remember the feeling of rising above my body and looking down at it, which can be very disconcerting as a little child. And then I remember being tugged into a dark place. When I was tugged into the dark place, there was a pinpoint of light that suddenly came in the distance, and I felt picked up and moved to that light. When I came into the light, I saw before me my grandmother's Clara, and I was so excited to see her, although at 5 years old, I had never met her before because my mother's mother, Clara, had died when she was only 2.5 years of age. But I knew her immediately. We hugged, and she had me kneel down and looked over a cloud as if we were looking down, and I saw myself with this pool of blood by my head, and I thought to myself, oh, that little girl is hurt, but I'm okay because I'm with my grandmother. And my grandmother took me, and she nudged me in front of her, and she said, Claire, it's not your time to come to us yet. You will come to us when it's your time. She kissed me on the forehead, and in that second, I woke up in the doctor's office as the last stitches were being stitched into my head. And from then on, I was very psychic. I could play the piano when I came back. There was no ability to learn to play the piano beforehand, and this caused a huge opening of my psychic awareness, which was wonderful in one way, but it was very detrimental in another way because it was not supported and it was not reinforced. And I always felt different, and I always felt not normal. And at almost 15 years of age, I had my second near-death experience when I drowned. And it was on that that near-death experience that an angel met me when I came out of the tunnel or the darkness. And they took me on. They said, we're going to take you on a journey which is going to become very important to you later on. And they took me to my homecoming, where I saw my grandparents and all my pets that had crossed over, and they looked very much alive. They looked and acted alive. I went to my life's review, and the most important thing about the life's review was that it was like a flip book from my birth to when I drowned, and I saw everything that happened. But while I was watching it, I felt what my actions and my words and feelings elicited in another. Therefore, if I was kind and I was loving, they felt how loving and kind I was. But if I was mean, if I was hateful, if I lied, I felt what that elicited, that feeling elicited in another person. After my life's review, I went to the Hall of Akashic Records and stood before the Etheric Council, the elders, to go over my contract, and they said, you're here too early. And they said, well, you know, you can sign this if you'd like to go back. And suddenly I realized that at 5 years old, I didn't have a choice whether to go back or not, but now I had a choice to go back. And with my opening of all my physical, my psychic abilities and being so abnormal or not normal, and it was very difficult, I looked at the Etheric Council and said, I have a choice, I'm not going back. And they said, well, wait a minute, look here, you're going to get married. Look, there's a marriage, you have to go back. And I said, if I have a choice, I'm not going back. And they said, wait, there are children here. You have to go back. And I said, I don't want to go back. And then they fell silent. And they said as one voice, you know, this is going to kill your parents. You're the only daughter. You have an older brother, two younger siblings, two younger brothers. And they will not be able to go on from this. And suddenly all the bravado went out of me. And I sighed and I signed on the bottom line. And then I woke up in the ocean. And I was spewing up lots of water, but I came back. And it was very, very difficult for me to come back after that near-death experience. Because I went more and more into my shell. And subsequently, the former soul lost her light over time, and it really didn't awaken in her until I, Angel Ariel, walked in and she walked out. But I do remember very clearly, because I have her memory in print, that extraordinary journey that we all get to take, which I write about in my book, One True Home, Behind the Veil of Forgetfulness, in which I tell readers about share with readers my five most important past lives, because I grew the most spiritually, and then how I live one life, and then I cross over, and I go through that amazing journey, and what we do in the afterlife. You know, nobody gets just a harp and a halo and floats around. There's so much important work that we do in the afterlife, and if we choose to come back, then we take that former life of ours, and we build on the lessons we learned or we didn't learn, and we contract anew, we script a new contract, and then we come into the physical again and learn those lessons in veiled duality, and then on and on we go through many incarnations. So that's a little bit about those near-death experiences.
There's an incredible amount of questions here. Is there ever any judgment because you didn't finish one particular life that you contracted to do?
There's never. There's no judgment. There's no judgment. We have free will, and we can. There are certain exit points that are built into our contract if things should become too damaging and too difficult for us. Like I said, we across the veil know that some of our best lessons come in contrast, in hardship and adversity, and, you know, it strengthens our character, it challenges us, but there is no judgment whatsoever if one should choose to exit their contract early.
It sounds like you went to a place that some people would call heaven or afterlife. Can you describe what that looks like physically?
Oh, gosh. It's very difficult to explain what that looks like because words pale in comparison by the light that you see, because we're so used to seeing light with only our limited physical vision. The clarity that you are able to see this extraordinary clear light, colors are brighter. It's you have the ability to pick up those senses on such a far-reaching level. And yes, some people call it heaven, but the energies that we have, Shari, when we cross over, are the same energies that we take with us. You know, so there are dark planes of heaven. You know, those who have a great deal of judgment and hate and racial bias and all kinds of negativity inside of themselves, perpetuated for a very long time. You know, you can only like because like attracts like. You can only go to those levels that have the same frequency, the same energetic frequency as you do. And so as you progress and as you lighten and learn your lessons and become more conscious and become more aware and find ways to instill light in yourself, you become lighter and then you rise to higher levels of frequency, higher levels of light, higher levels of love. And at those higher levels, some people do call that heaven. Some people call that Shambhala, paradise, you know, all kinds of names. But it has to do with the level of light inside of us, what we will experience when we cross over.
Do you recognize other walk-ins, other human walk-ins as you go about your day?
Yes, the way that one would recognize a walk-in has to do with the frequency that they are emitting. Walk-ins work on like a dualistic platform in which they are human, but they are constantly receiving messages from the etheric plane. So they have like a dualistic system. All walk-ins, a person can be a walk-in and really not be very clear as to their mission. Just because they walk in does not mean that they're going to make it as a walk-in, you know, because you don't, as I said, you don't come in with a handbook and you're dazed and confused. You know you're living the wrong life. Many walk-ins bump around for many years and still are not on their mission. I recognize those walk-ins who have understood their mission, and then they're on that line of really, I guess, giving up their free will to be of service to humanity.
It sounds to me like one of the underlying tenets of what you're trying to teach is that death is not something fearful or something to be afraid of, that crossing over is something very peaceful and graceful.
Actually, the only thing, Shari, we learn from death is that we cannot die. You know, if you think you're going to die when you cross over, you are going to be so disappointed. I'm telling you, because, you know, you've had a near-death experience. Those of us who have near-death experiences, you know, many who have had, I'm not saying every near-death experience is the same, but we come back with a greater understanding of how multidimensional we truly are, how we each have this divine, eternal, not internal, divine, eternal nature. We have always existed. We will always exist. And this physical life is just such a a blip on our radar screen of who we are, and each and every one of us, you know, gets to play the human game. It's a game that we choose to come back and learn our lessons in duality, and then we cross over to our one true home behind the veil of forgetfulness. And it's in that one true home that so many wonderful things happen. I mean, okay, so after we go through our homecoming, you know, where we see people that departed from not only this incarnation, but previous incarnations, they welcome us back. We go through our life's review. We review our contract with the Etheric Council in the Hall of Akashic Records. Then we can choose to live where we want to live. We can choose, we don't have a physical body, but because our thought forms manifest things instantly across the veil, we can choose our appearance. One of the hardest things coming back as a walk-in, I can tell you, is that I am about 6'4" when I am not in this body. And having had to squash myself into this 5'5" body is a difficulty that I encounter every single day. And so when I cross over, I will immediately be that tall body, that tall shard of light, which is my norm. And we can choose to be younger. You know, when people cross over from terminal illnesses and everything, like my dad is now, looks like he's about 28, 30 years old when he was in his prime. And you can choose. You can choose what color hair you want. You can choose. It's all thought forms on the other side. And then what do you do with your time? There are different levels in heaven. You know, there's the levels of artistic pursuits, you know, where say you were a musician and you channel music down to those on the earth plane. There's levels of technology. There's a wonderful level for horticulture and landscaping and animal preservation, you know, to go and look after the animals and, you know, that rainbow bridge where the dogs and the cats go. And, I mean, there's amazing things. And these huge cities of light that many who have had near-death experiences, like myself, you know, talk about, these cities of light in which you work together, and the harmony and the peace that you feel, there's no more competition, there's no more envy, there's no more jealousy, because these are all coming from an ego-based human nature. So, you know, there are many different things that people have experienced near death come back and they speak about.
When, throughout all of your books, when you write, the underlying theme that I get from it is acceptance of what is and an expanded awareness of others, especially others' feeling. And in your book, Angels of Faith, you talk about a little girl that was so profoundly expanded in her awareness of other people and accepting of what is. Is that biographical at all?
It is. It definitely was, because of the great opening that I had with those near-death experiences. Angels of Faith is one of those books that was channeled to me, when people read it, because it was written with the angelic codes of light, it opens people to connecting, reconnecting, and remembering their divine eternal natures. I'll tell you a very, actually, a miraculous story. When Angels of Faith came out in 2010, I had a client in Australia write to me and tell me how much not only she enjoyed the book, but she said, you know, something magical happened when I was reading it. She said, I got 3/4 of the way through the book when my eyes started to mist over with tears, and I started to remember who I was. And I got shivers, and I said, that's a beautiful statement. Can I use that as a testimonial? She said, sure. It was 4 days later that a gentleman who used to attend my meditation night bought several of the books for his family and friends, and he contacted me, and he said, thank you so much. This book so profoundly affected me. And I said, what happened? He said, well, this gentleman was in California. He said, I got 3/4 of the way through the book when my eyes started to mist over with tears as I started to remember who I was. And I said, whoa, hold on. I said, those are the exact same words that a client in Australia told me 4 days ago. And it was at the end of that week that a gentleman in Virginia who worked at an elderly facility, an elder care facility, he bought several of the books for, for terminally ill patients. There were a lot of people that were grieving and for bereavement. And he said, I just had to contact you because of this magical effect that I felt when I read your book. He said, I got halfway through the book when I started to cry, and I remembered that I was divine. And that's what this book is doing. It's helping people to reconnect and to remember that they are so magnificent, so beautiful, so very powerful. And it comes from their unique signature. They're so special. There's never been another vibration that is the exact vibration of who you are. Now, we are like snowflakes, and there are no two that are exactly the same. In fact, my dad, who crossed over last March and is with me every single second now, he is an incredible poet. His name was Leonard Milgram, and I put his angel poem at the beginning of Angels of Faith. And I included this because it shows how special each and every one of us is. And I would like to read this out to your listeners.
And that would be wonderful.
It goes like this. An angel once drew near to me and said in heavenly voice, I will give you but one wish. Pray, what will be your choice? I said, my godly messenger, I've traveled far and wide. I've had the best of teachers. You see, I'm not untried. And if I must but make one wish, my mind is clear and free. For rather than own all the world, let me but myself be.
That is beautiful. And Shari,
he wrote that when he was 11 years old. And from that point on, he started to channel beautiful poetry and music his whole life.
I think the Angels of Faith book, wonderful, very simple, but the lesson for me, and probably everybody's going to get a different lesson, the lesson for me is this is the purity from which I want to come and be part of the earthly experience. And I think the theme throughout your book is to help people find themselves, find their mission, and be able to let go of what keeps them from being themselves, being the me that your dad is writing about. So in looking at your books, how do you teach that to people?
I've often stated that I do not teach anyone anything, as we all incarnate as spirit into physical form with all of the knowledge and all of the ancient wisdom inside of ourselves that we will ever need. But what I lovingly do is I lovingly help others to reconnect to this wisdom by acknowledging and living life from their divine eternal nature in order for them to remember their magnificence inside. And our natural state is one of compassion, is one of forgiveness, is one of non-judgment, is one of as bliss. We are all children of God, and we are made in, and if you don't want to use the word God, that higher source's reflection of of being one. I am you, are me. And when you come to that higher consciousness, you cannot harm anybody else because you're harming yourself. You know, I don't see it as teaching anybody anything because we all have the tools inside. I see it as coming from that higher eternal nature of ours and allowing that to come out and softening that. And the way you do that is by following those five important tenets. See, most people want to be right instead of being happy. And that's why they blame. That's why they blame. You know, I was right. It's your fault. You're making me a victim. Well, nobody can make you a victim. You make yourself a victim. So if you take responsibility for your life, if you take accountability, then you lift that burden off of yourself of blame that so many people carry, and you decide that you're going to be happy and joyful rather than have the agenda of being right. You know, you learn your divine eternal nature by always making your default love and forgiveness. Because if it happened, whatever that is, if whatever happened, that event, that circumstance, whatever that person did for you, you wrote them into your contract, and all the time you wrote their contrasting characteristics to help you learn your lessons in contrast. So you take responsibility, and then if something happened, you take that accountability and you forgive them. And by forgiving somebody else, it actually lifts the burden of forgiveness off of you, and we get untold peace and happiness from forgiveness. So again, to connect with your divine eternal nature, there is no judgment. There is no judgment in heaven. You know, so many religions have said, oh, you know, you're going to hell and you're going to be judged, and it just is not so. There is no judgment. The etheric council don't judge us when we go over our contract of our lives. They'll stand with us and they'll go, how'd you go? How'd you go in the lessons that you set yourself up for? And you'll go, well, this happened. I might not have, I might have made a decision here that was not beneficial or there, but there is no judgment whatsoever. It's only the judgment that we put on ourselves. And then those that judge, they deeply judge themselves. So I lead people back to that divine eternal nature by going through those tenets and to see if they've incorporated them in their life. And more than not, once they start to live those tenets and really make them practical, then more of their divine eternal nature starts to shine outside of them.
We've talked about the self, internal and external, how we're perceived. I'd like to take a little sideways step because you write about the indigo children. Could you talk about how to identify and how to nurture an indigo child?
Okay. With each generation that has been born on the planet, because of the raising of the consciousness on the planet, those children that were born of subsequent generations were born of a higher frequency. For instance, the baby boomers, which I'm part of, the former soul, having been born in the 50s, gave birth to children in the late 70s, 79 and 85. And those children born between those ages, those times of between 1978 and 1994 were deemed indigo children. The reason they were called indigo children is because there was a navy blue color, hue, that was prevalent in their auras. And they were born of a higher vibration. They were born very sensitive. They were born what many people call rebellious, but it was only rebellious because they were able to pick up the lies and the deception and the corruption that were allowed to be perpetrated on the planet. And therefore, they come across as being rebellious, but they came on the planet to call out a lot of those institutions and systems that are archaic and no longer work on a conscious planet. They work best when they are with other indigos. That's where they get their strength. And many of them have been mislabeled. I was asked to be interviewed as one of the healing practitioners for the television documentary series, Children of the Rainbow, when I spoke about so many of these children, because they learn differently, they need to move, they're very tactile, they learn through movement, they learn through doing. They don't learn by sitting down and just being quiet and spewing back facts, as my generation was supposed to learn, just through repetitive things, and you have one job and you keep that until you're 65 and then you go home, get a gold watch and go home and die. These children are very, and young adults are very different, because they need to be constantly moving, constantly learning. And what the system did was, the system did not change to help these children, but instead they created and manufactured a disease which they called attention deficit with hyperactivity, and in order to put these children on Ritalin. A lot of people in this series talk about how we can foster these children because of their higher sensitivity to additives, coloring, flavoring, preservatives, chemicals, all of those things. The way to foster an indigo adult, which most of them are between the ages of about 19 and 38, 40 now, is to make sure that they're eating clean diets, you know, organic, non-GMOs, make sure they're having clean water without fluoride, which dumbs down the brain. Let me see, what other things? An indigo works best when we take what's inside of them already and we polish it like a diamond, instead of forcing facts into them. The word for education, the original Greek word, was educo, and it doesn't mean to teach. It means to lead forth. And so with the indigo children, and also the ones after that, the crystals and the star children that came after them, those rainbow children, they work best when we identify the God-given talent that's inside of them, and we foster them, and we polish that like a diamond, and then they shine, instead of just pushing facts and pushing them into professions which they have no alignment and no resonance with. And so these children, this generation, came back to make such a difference on the planet, because they can't be bought for money, they can't be bought for fame, and they smell out lies, deception, and their road that they're traveling on is that road of truth. And they are an amazing generation, the indigos.
I love that. You talk about, we only have a few minutes left, and I want to get to your books and I want to ask if you do workshops. But one question that I think is so important to me, the little secret that you found in the pocket of the little stuffed bear in one of your stories, does everyone have a symbol like that?
Oh, isn't that cute? Yes. Where the little girl in the story reaches into the pocket and she finds a reminder in there of a little white feather. And the angels left this reminder for her to know that they're always present. You know, most people, Shari, live in the past, rehashing the past, or they live in a future that hasn't been determined yet. And they miss the magic of the present moment. And the angels, we are always sending our human charges signs for our present. And one of those signs that angels are around is white feathers. There could be a sign that you get through when you turn on the radio. What song is playing for you? I mean, every time I walk into a store or whatever, there's heaven is missing an angel, or earth angel, or you are my special angel, or whatever that is. They contact you through songs. What license plate are you following? There are so many different signs that we're given, but most of them go unnoticed because we are trying to figure out life. We're trying to control and push the river of life rather than accept those divine signs on the how and when of life happening for us, which is not our providence. That was always the providence of the angels and God, because they can see a much wider, more miraculous outcome for our life. And everyone has the ability to see these signs.
Well, I want to talk about your radio show, your website, and your book. So let's do your website first. How can people get in touch with you, see what you have to offer? What's the name?
They can contact me at Angel Healing House, and that's angelhealinghouse.com. And you can go on there and you can read about my extraordinary books, Angels of Faith, which we've been talking about, One True Home, Behind the Veil of Forgetfulness, about my five most important past lives, and then the life that I lived in the afterlife between those lives. And then my most recent book, my autobiography, I Am an Angelic Walk-In, in which I speak about the life of the former soul, how she lost her life, how we contracted for me to walk into her body, I myself, Angel Ariel, and how I drew my twin flame to myself. This was 13 years ago. We met as a Come At Your Favorite Rock Star party. I went as Stevie Nicks. He came as Elvis. And 5 days later, he asked to marry me. It's an extraordinary, miraculous story, and that is told in that book, I Am an Angelic Walk-In. You can see my services on there for angel readings, distant healing, and Reiki services, and also speaking engagements, as I can be booked nationally, internationally, locally for speaking engagements as well. I have taken my 5-year-old Angel Healing House radio program, which was formerly on Blog Talk Radio, and I have a new home as I've been asked to host it on Transformation Talk Radio, which has just expanded it exponentially. It now goes out to 120 countries, and it's on 100 different radio platforms. So I'm very excited to be with Dr. Pat and her wonderful team on Transformation Talk Radio, and that's every Tuesday at 9 a.m., and that's Pacific Standard Time as I'm in California.
And the name of the show again?
Is Angel Healing House Radio with Claire Candy Hough, H-O-U-G-H.
That is wonderful. Do you do workshops with people? Do you do one-on-ones or just groups or...?
Well, I do both. It just depends what the client or the I've done a number of them with for businesses, for groups and organizations to come and to put together talks and on different subjects. So it just depends on what the client wishes.
Well, my favorite book of yours is Angels of Faith, because that is a beautiful place to start and to build from the innocence of a child to
yes,
the outside.
It is. Yes, it is. And Shari, there is one other poem which I would like to read out, which I think touches and encapsulates everything that we have spoken about today. And it's called The Wisdom God Placed in Your Soul. Whenever you stumble or falter or fumble or fail to advance to your goal, take a moment in prayer and see past the despair to the wisdom God placed in your soul. When you're cut or confused and your ego is bruised and you feel that you've lost all control, yet this feeling's not true. There's a you within you. It's the wisdom God placed in your soul. There are times you're so low there seems no place to go. Still, there's one place you always can stroll. When there's nowhere to hide, just go inside to the wisdom God placed in your soul. In the silence, you'll find peace beyond peace of mind, the courage to make yourself whole. It's a counsel unique that you don't have to seek. It's the wisdom God placed in your soul. Only few come to know that gratuitous glow from the knowledge of life's earthly role. Yet we all get to try to decipher the why in the wisdom God placed in your soul.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Angel, Ariel, and Claire Candy Hoges, thank you very much for being here.
Thank you so much, Shari. It's been an absolute pleasure being here. Have an absolutely beautiful day, and Happy New Year, and an amazing, miraculous 2017.
My face is smiling just listening to the accounts of heaven and the afterlife and the peace and beauty that we can experience on Earth here, too. And I'd like to remind our audience that we have a two-day free class coming up that we're going to be teaching people about the nano voice, how they can reveal their secret self. So thank all of you for being here. Please go to our site, soundhealthoptions.com, to classes. You do need to sign up because we do need to give you educational materials software for class. We hope to see some of you in class at the end of the week. I don't have the slightest idea what we're doing on our next show. I'm just so enthralled with this one that I'm having a hard time thinking about it. I'm just feeling very peaceful. Thank all of you for being here.